for that. We found out some things that were good and bad. So with the antibiotics are working, they put me on a little stronger one that I'm taking at home now. So hopefully that'll help. But thank you guys so much for your prayers for my family. And because it affects all of us, but it's weird when you're technicians. I was just saying your text, and even a nurse recognized me this time. Oh, you're back. I'm like, yeah. So thank you so much. I do covet your prayers. Thank you very much. We have a birthday coming up, I believe, tomorrow. Megan Beachy. So happy birthday. I don't see them here today. We've got some wonderful anniversaries coming up. I'm going to holler and say, if you're here, Dennis and Lisa, what are you celebrating? 37. No, he got it wrong. You're the next contestant. Lisa, what is it? 35. If Lisa was listening, Pastor Mike, you're going to be celebrating an anniversary this year. What are you celebrating?
55.
Yes! 55 years married to who? Oh, good. You remember that, too. That's awesome. Jim and Dana, I think I saw you back there. How many of you guys celebrating? 36. Let's just say amen. Marriages don't last sometimes, but thank God that they do. Congratulations, you guys. Got some exciting news if you look down there. The next line says the parking lot fund was met. But if you still have some donations that you felt led to give, please do, because that could go to that if there runs up a little bit more, or to other projects here at the church. And speaking of that, Mr. Dennis is so good at making these sheets for us. Please take that and put that on in your Bible and on your refrigerator. These are going to be some projects that they would like to work on next workday. So if you see something on there, you say, oh, I'm really good at that. I can come and help with that. That'd be a good way to use my gifts for God. Or if you don't see something, don't be afraid to come, because they might need help with different things. If you're like, oh, I don't really have that skill or this skill, don't worry. God will use you, and you just the fellowship of working together is an amazing thing. So please pray about work day next Saturday at 10 a.m. There are some service opportunities. If you could look at that and pray about that. Audiovisual technician to help Matt and Lou be able to rotate if they got vacations, things like that. Greeters and ushers, Miss Jean and Bob do a great job back there saying hi to people when they come in, but we could use that and help with ushering for offertories in case people are on vacation and things like that. So that's a place where you can serve. It's not so scary, because I know sometimes it's hard to put yourself out there. Our tithes and offering, guys, if you look at the bottom of the first page, you'll see that the budgets and the needs. Just pray about that. Pray about your giving. The Lord does bless through giving, and he blesses you, and he blesses who you give to. So please pray about your tithes and offerings. And as I always say, keep your prayer list handy. Change that out on your refrigerator. And when you get a drink, grab a snack. You could just grab a name there and say, you know, I'm going to pray for Rick and Pam. Boom. God's listening. And we know he's listening because they're here. Amen? So it's so good to have them here. So keep praying. When God's people pray, things happen. Things happen. Anything that I might have missed? Wow. All right. Well, keep Natalie and her family in your prayers here, especially as it comes to end-of-life situations. It's always hard, for us to let go of those that we love. But just keep them in your prayers, okay? any praises that anyone wants to announce? I know I've told you mine. I'm out of the hospital. Woo-hoo. Anyone else got something good that happened to them this last week that they want to share? Amen. Did you? I don't know if you heard that. She was just saying, thank God for the women's meeting that meets once a month. And if you've not been to it, grab a lady here and ask them about it, because it does meet once a month. They have a wonderful fellowship, because Mama said that too. But it does. It can. Just getting together, guys, can really, that koinonia is what they called it. That fellowship is really helpful to you and your soul to replenish you when you get run down from the week, from, you know, not. That's why we come to church. We get replenished. We get recharged to face another week of this evil world, right? So that fellowship is great. You know, it is amazing that a little card, a note, a text, something like that can really encourage. So, and that's a gift. That is one of the gifts of the Bible, isn't it, Dad? Encouragement and exhortation, I believe it's called in the Bible. And that's very important, you know. So if you're an exhorter, thank you. And I hope God blesses you like you bless us, because I've been exhorted. And so I know who some of you guys are out there. It's not everyone's gift, but if it's your gift, thank you for sharing that with us. All right, I love those. So let's just open up in prayer and have a great day today. Dear God, I just thank you so much for this beautiful sunny day that you allowed us to come into you, to the church building, and be a church family where we are gathered together. We can worship and praise and fellowship. But also, dear Lord, I just pray that you bless my dad, Pastor Mike, as he breaks the word for us, to hear what you've got for us today to carry throughout the next week. Thank you so much for this church family, as we've mentioned. Those were the blessings that we had today. Thank you, God. Please bring those folks back that are not feeling good and get them feeling better. Please sit with those that are traveling this summer that aren't with us today. And bless those that are here, every family, in a special way. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen.
You're invited to stay up with us. Savior, we adore thee, we thy love and grace proclaim. Thou art mighty, thou art holy, glorious is thy matchless name. Glorious, glorious, glorious is thy name.
tongues to sing. Blessed be the name of the Lord, the glories of my God and King. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The breaks the power of pangs on sin. Blessed be the name of the Lord. His love can make the forest clean. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I never shall forget that day. Blessed be the name of the Lord. When Jesus washed my sins away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Just thank you today. Thank you for this beautiful sunny morning with God. Thank you for the presence here of the people that come to worship with us today. Father, we pray a blessing on each of them. We pray blessings on those who couldn't be here this morning. There are many that we know that aren't here for one reason or another. We just pray that you're working in their hearts this morning, and that they're worshiping you in their own way at home or wherever they are. We ask that you bless our music this morning. We thank you for those presenting it, and we pray that it pleases you. We pray that our worship today will also be pleasing to you, and that it'll be fulfilling for us. We want to pray for Pastor Mike as he delivers the bread of life this morning. We pray that that message will speak loudly in our hearts, and we'll carry it with us as we go from here today. We want to thank you for the opportunity here now to give present an offering to you, or just a pittance of what you provided for us. And we ask that you bless the offering and those who are giving. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
to stand again.
To God be the glory, great things He has done, so loved He the world that He gave us His Son, who yielded His life and atonement for sin, and opened the light gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord.
Your Bible, I want to read a couple of verses from 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 4 this morning. The great apostle Paul, speaking to Timothy, says, I charge ye therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall heap to themselves teachers having itchy ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Father, we do thank you for who you are, the great gift of salvation you have presented to us through the person of Jesus Christ, our Lord. We thank you, Father, for the preservation of your word, the ability that we have, especially in this country, to have a Bible, our own personal Bible, to be able to read it when we want to, morning, noon, and night. Nothing stops us from doing that. All over the world, there are countries and places that the Bible is forbidden to come. They're scared to death that the Word of God would affect the change that it promises in their people, and they don't want that. So, Father, we pray for those places throughout the world. We think of Red China and the people in China who love you, who worship you, who are persecuted each and every day, threatened each and every day, yet they will not be silent, nor will they stop praying, nor will they stop meeting, nor will they stop reading your word. Father God, thank you for them. Bless them. Keep them strong. Keep them safe. Lord, those are places all over the country like that and all over the world. We pray, Father, you would be with those Christians as they show their love and devotion to you. Be with us now. As we're here in this place, in this house, the assembly of your people, the church, we pray, Father God, you'll speak to us. Give us strength. Encourage our hearts. Give us a new vision. Father, heal us. Touch us. Lift us up. For these things we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Well, as I said last week, Jesus was the greatest teacher in all the world. And he literally, of course, was the Word made flesh. Over in Matthew chapter 4, verse 23, Matthew says, "And Jesus went about in all of Galilee, teaching in the synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manners of sickness and all manners of disease among the people." Verse 24, it says, "And his fame went throughout all of Syria. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine." I want you to notice something. The first comparison between is these two men who had a vision. As Americans, we generally think of ourselves as a free people, as a people who have been gifted by our forefathers, those who have gone before us, who have fought the good fight, who have led the way, who've stood in the gap, and given to us this great freedom. So I want us to notice this in the sense of vision today. We need to have vision. We need to share vision. We're about law and order in this country, although it seems like violence in the street is growing every day. We want our children to be safe from predators, although some of the terrible people who are in charge of our educational system, they are predators. We want you, Lord, to keep these children safe. We want these that are predators to be fired. We want you, Lord, to give us enough backbone and courage to say, no, this is not what we want in our community, in our schools, and in our nation. I want you to think about the Ten Commandments real quickly this morning. The Bible tells us, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." Exodus 20, verse 3. "Thou shalt make no other graven images. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain." And it says, "Remember the Sabbath day," and what? "Keep it holy. Honor your father and your mother. Thou shalt not murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against your neighbor. Thou shalt not covet your neighbor's property." Listen, recently the state of Louisiana passed legislation. I don't know what they were thinking about, but praise God they were thinking. To require, to put in public schools once again, because you see, they used to be there. The Ten Commandments. Oh, my goodness. Did you hear that? Just almost, it was like a nuclear bomb went off. Whoa, how can these people do that? Well, they did it. And they're still in the school. And they'll stay in the school as long as the people in Louisiana stand behind those. This is the principles we want. These are the principles that guide our lives. These are the principles that made us great. These are the principles that made us free. These are the principles of who we are. We want them in the schools because we want our children to know about these principles. All they have to do is just stand firm. Normally, of course, the ACLU would fight tooth and nail to get those taken down, and I'm sure they will mount a charge in that direction. We as believers, we're believers' priests, you realize. We're called to be the vanguard of what God does in this world. We're called to stand for biblical principles. We're called to have a sense of order and orderliness that sometimes we just call good common sense. But it seems like good common sense is a commodity that not many people have today. But we should not be discouraged, because if we stand and we participate in the avenues that God allows us to participate in, we pray for our neighbors, we pray for our schools, we pray for our teachers, we pray for our churches, then that's what we're supposed to be doing, and no one can stop that. However, we will meet powerful forces in this world that will try to stop us. I saw something that said that 73 of all evangelicals that were recently polled said that Jesus is the infinite creator, the second person of the Trinity. The last time I saw one of these polls, it was less than that. It's going up. See, sometimes when we get pressured, when we get forced, when we have to take a stand, then sometimes we actually take the right stand. And so even though there's been this vacillation, I think perhaps maybe we don't even realize that God is allowing these things to come because he wants to purify his church. He wants us to once more again gain a understanding and a reason of who we are and what we're about. And when we stand, we can stand. And when we proclaim, we can proclaim. And what we believe, we don't have to keep a secret. We can share that because this is America. And we have something called free speech. Let's use it. 73% of all evangelicals say that Jesus is the infinite creator. He's the second person of the Trinity. The Nicene Creed, which of course was formed many, many years ago, declared that Jesus Christ was not made, but eternally begotten of the Father, one in being. Listen, the good news of the gospel is just very simple. Jesus is the Holy One of God. He is the second person of the Trinity. He is the Redeemer of the world. He is that one who came and became the Savior of the world by coming and giving his life for us on the cross. And in that ministry, in that short 3-year period of ministry, Jesus taught and spoke like no other man has ever spoke. Listen, Revelation 19 tells us, "And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he does judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." That's who we're talking about this morning. That's Jesus. Friends, we're not losers. We're winners. We're not weak. We're strong. The reason why people want us to be quiet and not speak is because perhaps they know better that when we speak in the name of Jesus and we speak the truth of God, it's powerful. And it escapes our lips, goes into ears, and those ears are affected by what they hear, and they don't like that effect. It's a good godly effect, but they don't like that effect. Friends, we're not losers. We're not weak. We shall not be defeated at all in anything we do if we stand for the truth of God. I think about that little song that we sing many, many times. It's Standing on the Promises, right? Standing on the promises of what? Christ my King, through eternity, he just let his praises ring. Glory in the highest, I shall shout and sing. What? Standing on the promises of God. That's what we need to do. Just stand on these promises. We don't have to change anything. We don't have to do any deep, dark research. All we need to do is stand on those promises. Titus told us, speaking to an ungodly world, that we should not be discouraged, but be confident because Jesus Christ is Lord over all. He is the Word of God. He is the second person of the Trinity. He is God Almighty. He is God in the flesh. He is Savior of the world. Titus 2:1 says, but speak thou these things, which become sound doctrine, that aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in the faith, in charity, and in patience. The aged women likewise, that you be in good behavior, which becomes all godliness, and not accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we shall live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present world. That's our task. Preaching against sin. We can never stop doing that. Because sin is real. It has power. It's not all powerful. But we have the remedy for it. I remember when I was a kid out on my grandmother's farm. We had bought a couch. And we drug it into the little living room, I guess you could call it, we had there. And we had this television set that was about as big as this pulpit. And the front, the little thing was about that big around. Nobody knows what I'm talking about. But those were the kind of... And so we were sitting there. My grandmother was in her rocking chair, rocking, rocking, rocking. My mother was buzzing about like a bee because she was always doing something. I was sitting on the couch. My brother laid on the floor, and he stuck his feet up under that couch. And everything was going smoothly, and all of a sudden, he jumped up off the floor, he ran around, he was screaming to high heavens. My grandmother was trying to say, what's going on, what's going on? My mother came rushing in there, grabbed a hold of him, because he was just running around, screaming, screaming, screaming. I was going, I didn't do it, I really didn't. And so finally, and it was one of those kind of things. By the time my mother set him down in that rocking chair, his foot had just swollen up. It was red, as hard as a rock, and there were two little puncture marks there. My grandmother said, something is in the couch. Whoa, something is in the couch. So my mother said, go up there, pull. She had a fly swat. I don't know what she thought she was going to do with that. Pull the seat off. So I pulled it off slowly, thinking something was going to jump out and get me, I guess, or something. I don't know what. And laid it on the floor. Nothing happened. I went to the middle one, pulled it out, pulled it back. My brother's over there still screaming. Pulled another one out. Nothing. I don't know what we thought we were supposed to be looking for, but my mother did. My grandmother knew we were looking for something. And then my mother said, okay. And she bent down, and there's this little handle, because that was a couch that turned into a bed. And she grabbed that little handle and pulled that little handle out, and there was the culprit. A scorpion. Yeah. Being the bright lad that I was, I ran to the other room. My grandmother was hollering at me to get the broom. I wasn't stopping to get any broom. I was getting out of there. My mom had the fly swat, and she started whacking that thing. You know, whack, whack, whack. And it was, I think, probably getting very irritated. And so then she wanted my shoe. What do you want my shoe for? Finally, she grabbed me and pulled my shoe off, took it, went over to that couch, and that little scorpion was sitting there, and she whack, 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 whack. Then she took a little piece of paper, slid it underneath, looked at it for a minute, went into the kitchen where the wood stove was at burning, took the little eye and dumped him in there. Kapoof. No more did we have that happen. Listen, there are scorpions all over the place. There are these things that will zap us, but they don't have to feed us. My brother's foot got better. We didn't have any more problem. We killed the critter. That was the problem. What we need to recognize and realize in our society, in our country, is we're the ones who have to stand up, pull a cushion out, and if need be, whack it. Because we have to stop that thing from spreading or continue to spread its terror. And we can. Isaiah 58 says, cry aloud. Spare not, lift up your voice like a trumpet and show my people their transgressions and the house of Jacob's sins are forgiven. Isn't that great? A church that does not preach against sin is an effective church. A church that does not preach against sin then has nothing to offer the people who sat there listening for something to be offered to them. Because sin is our problem. A preacher that doesn't preach the scripture, the Bible, is not worth anything. He's not only disobedient to his call and whoever and however he understood that to be, he's unfaithful to God Almighty. I thank you that you pray for me and continue to do so. We need to do that. There's a symbiotic relationship there. When I get here in this sacred desk, I shouldn't be speaking my words, but I should be speaking the words that God laid on my heart to come to bring to you today. That's the way it should be. There are many, many churches today, though, that are undoubtedly there's not true. There's such a compromise there that you wouldn't even know that it was supposed to be the house of God with the people of God meeting. Might as well be a good club. You know, maybe you're crocheters, or maybe you're quilters, and all those kind of things. And there's nothing wrong with that. But we're not a crochet club. We're not quilters. We're first and foremost the people of God, meeting in the building, the house of God, to worship God and help and ask for his help and help us to grow, Lord, daily in who we are. So that when the time comes for us to stand, we will stand. We will stand. But someone has said, well, you need to have a hopeful message. I believe that's true. But the Bible tells us that false prophets preached about peace and safety. And then the scripture said, but there was no peace and there was no safety. Ezekiel 13, chapter 1, 13 rather, verse 1 says, and the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel that prophesy and say thou unto them that prophesy out of their own hearts, hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, woe unto the foolish prophets that follow their own spirit and have seen nothing. That's a great responsibility, isn't it? To be true to the word. It's a great responsibility. I remember when I first got saved, my wife sent me a Thompson Chain Bible. Beautiful thing. I still got it. I've kept it like a treasure. I put it in a box because I dropped it one time. I busted the binding a little bit. I left it over the snack bar one time. I thought I'd lost it, period. But rushed back to find it. And there was a little Korean guy that was cleaning tables off and said, "Oh, you the Bible man?" I thought, "Well, I'm looking for a Bible." And he gave it to me. I had a little Bible that was a parallel. Do you ever see those little parallel Bibles? This one had four different translations. I liked that one because one was everyday English. You know, I like the King James Bible myself. It's what I like to read myself. Because when I come to a word in the King James Bible, which I don't understand what that word is, you know what I do? I stop, look it up, and find what it means. So actually, I've learned something, haven't I? Just because I've come across a word that's not normally in my vocabulary. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with reading a more contemporary rendition of the Scripture. I'm not saying that. But we need to read it, and we need to apply it. Listen, the world depends upon us. It depends upon the children of God. It depends upon the church of the living God to hear the good news, because nobody else is going to bring it. Nobody else. Matter of fact, nobody else is commissioned to do it but us. I meant to bring my magazine that I get that's called the Voice of Martyrs, because I just wanted to show you, and I will do that next time. I had it laid out. I just walked off and left it. About different people's groups all over the world that are persecuted daily, put in jail, beaten, you name it. And when they're let out, what do? They go right back and worship. When they're let out, what do? They go right back. And listen, I'm part of the verse that you haven't heard for a while, and so they would fill it back in. We've got so much. We've been given so much. I think that we might be able to give so much, that we would send Bibles all around the world, that we'd send missionaries all around the world. I always thought about that little country, Yemen. Several years ago, one of our ships, a Navy ship, was run into or something like that, and they took the Navy guys to the closest hospital. The closest hospital was in Yemen. You know where Yemen is? Look it up. It's right, a little tiny thing down there in the corner. Alan Bale's sister worked in that hospital. That hospital was not a Yemenese hospital. It was a hospital for the Yemenis to not only take care of wounds and physical, but the spiritual. Every one of those people there, his sister was a missionary. She was a Southern Baptist missionary on the field there in that place. And they were constantly being watched and constantly being observed. And if they did something that the Yemenese government didn't like, they'd get in trouble. But guess what? That hospital was so valuable to them that they couldn't afford to shut it down. They tried a couple of times. And the people who had come for that doctoring and medications and various and so many things demanded they reopen it. Listen, all we have to do is do what we're supposed to do. And God will take care of the rest. Oh, there'll be those kind of folks that want to shut us down, most assuredly. But we can't be shut down unless we just voluntarily shut our own mouths. Don't shut your mouth. Don't stop your ministry. Don't stop doing. Be the kind of person that God wants you to be. The world descends into wickedness when the pulpit of God does not preach the word of God. And the world is not going to be regained until the people of God once more take the lead in that we are propagators of the wonderful truth of God, which is the word of God. And Jesus is the word, what? Made flesh. God's truth. Preaching should be passionate. It should be zealous. There should be an earnestness about it. there should be spiritual filledness about it. It should be simple. President Abraham Lincoln once said this, "I don't like to hear cut and dried sermons. No, when I hear a man preach, I like to see him act as if he were fighting bees." That's a strange way to look at it. Maybe if we have some extra money next Sunday, we can pass out the bees. No, maybe not. Maybe let's just raise our hand and say, we will do what God wants us to do. We will be faithful. We will be true. We will use the spiritual gifts that God has given us. We will use the talents He's given us. We will use the resources that God has given us, not just for ourselves, but that the Word of God might permeate the area. And in permeating the area, that means people coming to know Jesus. That means life coming to dead corpses who are walking. That means truth overtaking error. That means freedom in the greatest sense it can possibly be. Our country is in desperate shape, isn't it? It really is. I thought to myself the other day when I was watching that debate between Trump and Biden, that after the debate, it seemed like somehow or another the national news media had just almost discovered that Mr. Biden doesn't hardly have a brain. I don't know how they put it, but it was something like that. And I thought to myself, where have these people been? That's the same guy that I saw 2 weeks ago, or a month ago, and a year ago. Listen, if we're counting on the politician to bring us something good and wonderful and something great and powerful, it won't happen. They might line their pockets with the good and wonderful and all those kind of things, but they're not there for that. We're here for that. And we're here to hold them accountable that they represent us and the truths that we hold to be sacred. And these truths, we want them to present not only to us in our everyday society, but to the whole world. America is the lighthouse to the world. To the world. And there's definite darkness out there. Let's stand together this morning. Ready? Notice, and you want to check my notes, I didn't have that written down. It just came upon me. And I'm glad that Von Dell jumps up and gets on the piano, starts hammering that thing out, and these guys say, I can find it in the what is that thing? The memory of that computer. Isn't that great? That's great, isn't it? Standing on the promise. That's what we're just supposed to stand there, and we cannot fail. We don't have to be superheroes. We don't have to be Superman or Superwoman. All we have to do is stand on the promises, and God will take care of the rest. Heavenly Father, we are coming into a time of what we call celebration of independence in the United States of America, 4th of July, and all those kind of things. And what a wonderful thing it is to remember that you have blessed us in such a way, used us in such momentous ways, helped us to intercede into the world in a good and positive way, but because of the gospel that we bring. Father, as we leave this place today, help us to be strong in you, energetic for you, and standing on the promises. For these things I ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Before you leave, turn that right or left, shake somebody's hand and say you're glad to see him this morning.